Hello, everybody. Welcome back to season two, episode two with John from Pepper and Salt. We have a brand new restaurant that opened up in Vero Beach, Florida, probably a couple of years now, by the name of Pepper and Salt. He is a Texas style barbecue joint, fantastic food. And us at Full Gorilla Life, we enjoy barbecue quite a bit, maybe too much, right? But we had the privilege of talking with John, who takes us through his journey of going from San Diego, California to Texas to Florida, now Florida, and being a audio engineer in San Diego as well as in Texas, and then in Florida, opening up a restaurant. This is his first restaurant venture. Didn't know what he was getting himself into. But decided to take a leap of faith and just go ahead and open up a restaurant. And we are glad that he did, because he does bring delicious food to our community. But without much further ado, I think I said that right, but here's the episode.
Excited to be here.
Yeah.
Excited to smell barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad. I lost my hearing, my right ear, maybe a year ago. Can we just bump me up on the headies? The
headphone action? Top right for you should be.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Check.
You are four?
Numero cuatro.
You are two.
Try numero again. Dos. Numero dos. There we go. Beautiful.
Is that better?
Got it?
Yes.
All right, cool. Yeah.
It's crazy because I was an audio engineer for 10 years and then bam.
How'd you lose the hearing?
I was trimming meat right there. In a quiet here? Restaurant.
Oh.
And then it just sucked in, and that was it.
Huh?
Really?
Yeah. Really strange.
And they can't fix it or anything? There's no going back. That's it.
Jeez. It's all downhill from here. I look at it as I have another ear, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think all the horrible, as I get older, I feel like, you know, you start to remember all the horrible things you've done to your body over the years. And my ears are definitely one of them. Like, I'm definitely the guy hammering on metal or grinding or without ear protection at all, you know? And then I'm just like, I feel like the more I do it as I get older, I'm like, oh, I should really go get some earplugs or something.
Yeah. Or like I continuously get the Apple notification on my watch to say like, hey, it's too loud in here.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It does that? I didn't know it does that.
Yeah. So I get that. So we were actually at the, went to a football game this past weekend. And when we were there, like, my Apple watch is going nuts. It's like, you're in a loud environment. You need to like lower the volume. I'm like, I have no control over this. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I guess we should introduce you, Let's get started here.
Oh, yes.
You can go ahead and introduce yourself and who you're with. And
so my name is John, last name Chanis, Pepper and Salt Barbecue. My wife owns it. She allows me to work here, which is pretty awesome. but I'm head pitmaster here at Pepper and Salt. I'm the guy who wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and sacrifices my sleep.
Nice. Now, John, you don't know this, but we've had many a conversations between the three of us, and it's Corey and Larry, and actually Tom's with us today. And we've had many a conversations about you, John, about having this conversation with you.
Nice.
Because Larry and Tom are both barbecue pit. If you're a master, I don't know. Would that make them a minor? I don't know.
I would say probably that. Okay, at best.
I'd take that.
Okay. No, they do. They make very good barbecue. And I actually am very good at eating barbecue.
There you go.
Like, I've been to several very famous barbecue restaurants with these two guys. Like, I know how much they love barbecue. They've been gracious enough to drag me along on their barbecue journey.
Yeah.
And I've really just been the benefactor of great barbecue.
Yeah.
And their journey in making great barbecue. And so, their excitement when you were coming to town. I mean, I don't know how long it took for this restaurant to open, but it felt like forever. I'm sure it felt like forever for you too, but know that you were not the only one. Yeah. Like, we would get updates and text messages like, nah, they're not open yet.
Yeah.
No, they're not open yet. Cause we've talked that, you know, you're not from around here to begin with, but you do know that there's not Texas barbecue in Indian River County, except for you. So We have very slim choices. We had to drive at least an hour, hour and a half to go get good barbecue. So the excitement when you came to town was for real. So we were very excited to sit down and talk with you and just talk about your barbecue and life experience and everything else.
Yeah. No, happy to be here to talk about it. I'm happy that we're open, actually.
Yeah.
So what made the jump, right? So I know we had some previous conversations. You're talking about you're an audio engineer.
Yeah.
So what made you want to get into opening up a restaurant with or working for your wife at the restaurant?
It's a great question. So in Houston, I bought a smoker, I don't know, 8 years ago. And let me backtrack. I went out for barbecue in Houston 8 years ago, and I didn't have a really good experience at that barbecue restaurant. You know, barbecue prices are pretty expensive. You spend all this money and you eat not so good barbecue, it makes you a little upset. And I asked myself, you know, could you do it better? You know, was it worth pursuing, you know, that huge grind, which is barbecue? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, let's try it. Started with a Traeger, nothing against Traeger. I just needed more control over my smoke. So I had a Traeger for about a month, moved over to a Lone Star Grills offset style smoker, North Houston, and kind of just started there. And then, you know, a couple years later, I was getting messages from, you know, people, hey, smoke this. Can you smoke this for me? I got a family thing going on. Can you smoke 6 racks of ribs? I'm like, okay. So I'm saying yes, yes, yes. And then it got to a point where it was every day. And at that point I was like, you know, maybe it's kind of good. I don't know. You know, it's you ask anybody who smokes their own barbecue, they're never happy with it.
No.
You know, I'm never happy with what we're putting out besides those smash burgers the other day. But yeah, it's always a learning experience. So that was the jump. We had a daughter in 2020, late 2020. And we were living in downtown Houston at the time. And we kind of wanted her to grow up small town living. And my parents live out here, which is pretty sick. So we kind of made the jump. And I told my wife, if we move, I'm going to hop out of the audio engineering gig. And let's try to open up a little barbecue shack. That's what it was called for a long time, just a little barbecue shack. But it turned into something like this. And then the response was just, I mean, it's still nuts. It's still hard to take in how much people enjoy barbecue, let alone, I mean, my barbecue, which is very humbling. You know, you put all this work in, you want, I don't know, but it's been a hell of a jump. It's definitely been interesting. The last thing I'll say about it, we weren't ever in the restaurant industry until we opened the doors on 4/20 when we opened the restaurant. So it's been a learning experience for sure. But, you know, if you're not learning, you ain't moving forward.
Yeah, 100%.
So what did your wife take that, like, whenever you're like, hey, like, I went to school for this, this is my career, but I don't think so. Like, let's take this gamble.
Yeah. She was surprisingly, not surprisingly, she always backs me through whatever. I mean, we'll be in traffic and somebody will cut me off. She'll be like, yeah, up yours. And I'm like, yeah, up yours. Road rage.
Yeah.
All right, calm down. but no, she backs me, and everything. So when I told her this, she's like, all right, go ahead. And I told her, I'm not going to do it unless you kind of, you know, are along for the ride with me. And she's like, all right, I'll be there.
Now, did she have a career too, or?
Still does.
Okay. So yeah. She works outside of the restaurant then.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has 2 kids under 3.
Okay.
And 2 jobs. So currently she's a medical director for a company in California. And when she left California, they wanted to keep her on. So she works remote from the house.
Okay.
But yeah, whenever she can, she's in here just hustling. bustling, does so much behind the scenes. It's ridiculous. So
now, did you have any other family for help when you were opening here, or was it just you and the wife? Or
so, like money wise, we had a little bit of backing from my parents. We put up a lot, and a bonus is my parents own this building, but they still expect rent on the third of every month, which is which I understand.
Yeah,
but
yeah. You gotta own. Yeah, you understand that very quickly when you own real estate.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's pretty much it. It's been my wife, myself, my parents, and hopes and dreams.
That's awesome. Fantastic. I mean, that's really the American dream, right? It's like getting the opportunity, taking the opportunity, and then just running with it. But really, like, stepping out of your comfort zone, because you're, to your point, this is your first endeavor in restaurant business, you know. So day one, like, if you could paint the picture for us, you're getting ready to open. How are you practicing? Because being in barbecue, like cooking every now and then, like doing some barbecue, if you cook with like a big tank, right?
Yeah.
It's a different flame. It's a different flow of smoke, timing, you know, all that stuff. Like how did you go about like practicing, making sure, right, that everything came out good?
Yeah, it was tough. It was a lot of sleepless nights, because you don't know timing on anything, right? So you're up 24, 36. Longest I've ever been awake was 72 hours. Was Father's Day last year. Just an intense, just all-out grind, which really sucked. But
was that because of the restaurant getting ready to open?
That was, we had pre-orders, and I didn't really... It took me a while to get into the groove. Like now I'm in the groove. I'll show up at 3:30, cook until about 10:30. But I got Robbie who comes in, takes over around 9 o'clock. But it just took a while to get into that groove. We were working with 2 500s at the time, and they weren't the quickest smokers on the planet. Also difficult because the temperature across the grates was just, we couldn't get it right. You know, it'd be 300 on one end and then 225 on another. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Now, did you have those made for you or?
Yeah. We had them built. It was a place out of Georgia that we contacted, had them built, and they delivered. But we've moved on since. We still have the 2 500s. The mainly one's a chicken machine, the other's a burger machine, just because of that temperature variation. But we got 2000s right now, also pumping out smoke. But yeah, it just took a while to get into the groove. Florida, it's a little interesting at times.
Mm-hmm. The weather.
The weather's
it's awful for
nuts
for barbecue.
Yeah, and we're not sheltered, right. You know. So when it's pouring rain, and we have to pull ribs, you know, we're just getting pissed on, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But just that torrential Florida downpour last year through both hurricanes, we were smoking. But yeah, also the wind, you know, we got the 2 500s or 1 500 and 2000s in the back, just because we get better airflow, you know what I'm saying? Like through that little alleyway.
Yeah.
On the side of the building, there's not a lot going on, you know, we still got a 500 over there, but you talk about work, that thing takes work. I mean, you're out there every 20 minutes. I think that's an ice machine. You're out there every 20 minutes, you're just like babysitting it. Whereas one of these 1,000 gallons in the back, you can just set it, almost forget it. Walk out every hour, throw a log on, and it just continues.
That's nice.
Now the 1,000 gallons, at a mill scale?
Not mill scale. What those two in the back, built by the same guy. He's out of Waxahachie, Texas, mm-hmm. which is like a Dallas kind of suburb.
Just south.
Yeah, yeah. Mike's Custom Steelworks. There's Plug. He's a great guy. He delivered the second pit to us.
Oh, cool.
Which was just incredible. So he was down here.
I think was I here that day or were we all here that day?
I think we might have seen him.
I seen it get, didn't they bring a crane in or something to move it? Or
yeah.
Yeah, I was here when it was getting delivered. It might have been me and my wife.
Gotcha.
What? Which, I mean, I love all your barbecue. Your pork belly is the best pork belly that I've ever had. Gotcha. And I've had a lot of barbecue. If you ask my wife, your green beans are the best thing on your menu.
Nice.
But she's not, you know, she loves barbecue as well, but for some reason, she loves green beans too. So.
I like green beans too.
My wife's not, see, like, that's where, like, my rub is. My wife's not a big barbecue person.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll have to, like, invite everybody over, be like, yeah, you guys want to smoke some meat?
Basically, it's just like a party. Like,
yeah,
let's get together.
Yeah, let's get together. It's like, it just gives me an excuse to try and barbecue something.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, we got to come here.
But I do see, like, I mean, every time I come in, I feel like you're always got something new going on or something new on the menu. And I appreciate that for sure. Is there, like, evolution to that? Or are you just always trying to perfect something or just keeping it new and fresh? Or
so with brisket, I'll start with that. We're approaching like 10,000 of them, like smoked and served. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. But looking at that, I'm always trying to figure out ways to improve.
Yeah.
You know, even though we've gone through a lot of them. But as far as specials, we want specials, you know, I wish they could stay on the menu permanently, but.
Then they ain't very special though.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do get that because like you go into a restaurant and they're like, oh, these are our specials. But then you have those specials every other week. And I'm like, that's not very special. Yeah. You know, like.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Yeah. I actually appreciate. Yeah, it does. You know, it kind of sucks whenever you come and you're like, oh, I really like that. You know, those sliders that you had or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's not there till the next time. But it also keeps you looking forward when you come back to something new, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm always going to get the pork belly. But then it's what else do you have?
Yeah. Yeah, it's go ahead.
Seems like the burgers are usually a pretty big hit when you have those.
Yeah, the Burgaces. We do $5 burgers, hopefully on Saturday. You know, if nothing else, train wrecks during the week. But the smash burgers were just crazy. But side note, tomorrow we're rolling pastrami sandos. Just a heads up. But I took the pastrami trim. I threw crushed coriander seed, black pepper. I'm going to grind it tomorrow and then do smashed pastrami burger patty melts.
Okay.
That sounds legit.
So that's not going to be for sale. It's just going to be for El Tasting. But just to see if it works out, you know. We'll see. We'll see, you know. So, I mean, we're trying to improve every day on what we produce. You know, I always say we got like an In-N-Out menu. We don't have a lot of stuff on the menu. I think it's 5 meats, 5 sides.
Yeah.
Period.
But that's pretty much every like barbecue spot, right? Like, I mean, like Corey is saying, we drug him. Nice. We didn't really drag him, but he was like a willing participant in going to the barbecue spots. We went to Austin for his 40th birthday.
Yeah.
So we went there and we hit up, well, me and Corey hit up all spots. Tom was
so
sick.
Much barbecue.
But we ate so much barbecue.
I couldn't like, I just.
At the very end. So the funny story is we're coming home and there is a salt lick at the airport in Austin. And we were like, all right, well.
When we got there, it was closed. And we said, we'll hit it on the way out.
On the way out. And then.
But the amount of brisket that was consumed in the 3 days, I didn't take into effect. Like, I'm not going to want those salt lick brisket tacos on the way out.
But I talked them into it. I was like, we got to.
The other two boys we were with did not. They said, no, it's been too much. But me and Larry,
we
bellied up to the bar and we ate our brisket tacos for breakfast. Okay. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, in fairness, I got sick.
Yeah, well.
The next time we went to Austin,
Obviously, you know, we've been to Franklin's. That was the big spot out there.
So the first time we came here, I actually wore my Franklin shirt and Corey's like, you're such a nerd.
Yes. Yeah. These barbecue, absolute barbecue nerds, both of them. Oh, yeah. They buy a shirt wherever we go.
Got to.
Yeah. I mean, just absolute nerds though. Like I you know what I do? I appreciate like, what's the spot in New Orleans? I like the blue.
Lindora.
What is it? It's blue something.
Blue Oak.
I think it is Blue Oak.
Yeah.
I like them and the joint in New Orleans is good too. But they got the plastic cups with the logo on it. For some reason, like that's my jam.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of like the world famous fried chicken. Gus's.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. But anyways, back to my, I would put your barbecue sides up against anybody's barbecue sides that I've been to. I will 100 put, and especially a lot better than some of the big boys. Now they do have great brisket. Yeah. I will give them that. Like they have, you know, the best brisket I've ever had, but your sides and like I said, your pork belly, like, and I mean the rest of your meat too, absolutely up there with all the big boys. But yeah. Like I would put your pork belly and your sides above every barbecue place. And you know, we've 100%. Been to John Lewis's and who else? And,
Ronnie Scott. In Charleston.
You know, we've been to a lot of good big name barbecue places. And like I said, I love your barbecue and absolutely every side that I ever get here, I'm like,
yeah,
because sometimes I feel like it's overlooked when we go to barbecue places. It's like they got mustard potato salad and it's just like I bought it at Publix,
right?
You know, and I'm like, well, I do want a side with my, I mean, as much as you know, our wives joke about it, like we will sit around and eat meat all day, you know, and we'll completely forget about anybody making a side. But it is nice when you come to sit down and like everything on your plate is absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, 100%. Now, going back to opening day, like, can you talk to us about that journey, right? Like getting the spot, building it out, on top of building it out, like permits, like, What does that process look like? Like let's pretend I was going to go ahead and say like, all right, I'm going to open up a spot.
Yeah.
Like what does that look like for somebody who doesn't know what the heck they're doing?
And while you're on that, who bricklaid all this 2x3-inch tile? Because I know Tom, you have to look at this. You know, me and Tom are very amateur hour tilers, and I look at all these tiles on your wall. It looks phenomenal, but I'm like, gosh, somebody spent a lot of time putting tiles on the wall.
What a quit! Like,
I, way honestly, over here. The first time I walked in, I said, "That's what took so long."
Yeah. Damn, man. Yeah. No, it's a funny story. There were a couple Brazilian dudes who put the tile in.
Yeah,
and we just couldn't stop talking about Brazilian barbecue.
You know, yeah.
I mean, it was
picante.
Picanha.
Picanha.
I have one of my I've been thinking about bringing it down and making it like a brisket. Okay. I know Tom did that already.
Yeah, it turns out pretty good.
It's just like really beefy, right? So and that cap, like I feel like that's going to melt pretty good. Anyways, so back to the question. Like
sorry. Yeah. You're very distracted.
Very easily.
So trying to open, you know, we got the spot. It was a sub shop, and if you buy a restaurant,
this used to be a sub shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you buy a restaurant, you're kind of grandfathered in, like you can just put in a restaurant, right? So it's got all the restaurant permits. You got this, that, and the other. They didn't have restaurant permits.
Oh, they were just winging it.
That's my style.
No comment.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure what was going on, but we went to the city, to the county, whatever, and they said, yeah, there's no permits. So we kind of had to tear everything out. There were just four walls in here, and everything was built from the ground up inside. And it was tough. I mean, the permit office is interesting.
Government.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
It's part of the government.
Yeah.
And no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you got to understand slow. It's government.
Yeah. It's slow.
Facts. Yeah. So, I mean, it just took a while. Our wheelchair ramp out here took maybe 3 months to get passed on.
Wow.
There was a pre-existing wheelchair ramp and contractor person came out, said it wasn't to spec. So we started grinding it down, and we were a couple millimeters off and it still wasn't to spec. Mm-hmm. So we tore it out, re-poured it, measured it again, and now we're like 2 millimeters off, wasn't to spec. We had to tear it out again. And that was tough because that was January, February, and March of that year that we opened. And I'm all about getting the wheelchair ramp correct, 100%. My grandmother, she was in a wheelchair. She never got here, but still, you know, you gotta make it accessible to everyone. And I understood it all, and I was, you know, I was a little upset, but you know, what can you do? So we tore it out twice, and then we finally got it. We passed. Health inspector came down, passed us, and then they kind of gave us our certificates, and they were like, "All right, y'all can open." And it's like, "Oh, snap!"
For real.
yeah, I guess it's go time. And then it was maybe a week later we did that soft opening, which was an absolute cluster.
Yes,
and
we were here for the soft.
Yeah, I think we came.
Yeah, we came for the soft opening.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, basically, they got in line early. I got here late, and I just jumped in.
I know he was that guy. He was that guy, and I didn't I had to let him in because obviously we're boys, but it was kind of like, nobody, I gotta cared. Let you in, but
everybody was cool.
I gotta kind of look the other way, like I didn't really let you in, like you did this yourself, not me. Yeah. Like,
oh, you know? I got you. So now I know who.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was here in plenty of time. I was first in line, sitting out there.
I think you might have been.
I was actually first. We were waiting. Me and Sarah were waiting in the truck. But then somebody, another lady, she came in and then she got out and stood in line. And I was like, okay, I better go stand in line. It's going to be that kind of day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. we didn't even know that was going to happen until we opened the door. I looked down and it's like line down the building. And I'm just like, I don't even, you know, all new experience for us.
So what were there, like, were you nervous as hell?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Cause even like you were slicing the brisket that day.
Yeah.
Cause I remember that. Cause I was like fourth in line and
yes.
but I remember that. And I remember like thinking like, if it was my first day, something as simple as like cutting a brisket, you know, what if you, if I make a mistake and like cut it the wrong way. Right. Cause like if you're the point or the flat.
Oh, because I'm, especially guys like this. And even me at this point, I'm going to judge you if you cut it the wrong way.
100%.
Cause I've been to some barbecue shops.
Yeah.
Some more like that barbecue shops that are franchised at this point. Mm-hmm. And, the guy's cutting it and I'm like, whoa, what are we doing here, guy? Right. We're going with the grain. What are we doing here?
Right.
Like, right. This is supposed to be legitimate barbecue. I'm paying, you know, $30 a pound for this or whatever it is, you know?
No, it's tough.
I
mean, the cutting it is as important as the rest, and the rest is as important as the trim, the blue smoke, and the, you know, moisture of the wood and all this other stuff. Like you can have a Franklin style brisket, like just beautiful, perfect. But if you cut it wrong,
it's over.
Yeah.
It's not going to tear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But going back to Larry too, like that first day as you're cutting that brisket, that's got to be like a surreal moment. Like if I mean, I can just imagine it, you know, because, you know, different points in my life, I've had that adrenaline and that angst, you know, mm-hmm. things, you know, we do things that drive us to those moments in our life because that's, honestly, that's what we live for. That's what we talk about all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Being outside of that comfort zone and then feeling, there's no other way to get that feeling. If you could bottle that feeling and sell it, I would buy it by the case.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way except through hard work, perseverance, nervousness, all those, you need all those things to add up to get to that feeling right there. Yeah. And yeah, sometimes I feel like we get in those moments and you honestly can't even appreciate it until after it's over, you know, like one of those, like, cause you're so nervous or you're just so in the moment even, like, so as you're serving that barbecue though, or you go outside and see that line, like what's going through your head? Like, are you thinking like, okay, this might actually work? Or were you thinking that the whole time? Or were you thinking like, oh, what if nobody shows up? I mean, I'm just thinking of what might be going through my head. My head would probably just automatically being, all right, what's my game plan if nobody shows up? Like, what's my next game plan? Like, not necessarily like, oh, we got to shut down shop, but like, how am I going to get people to show up?
Where's my
megaphone? But then when you got a line of people out the door, what goes on in your head at that point? Or did you even have those feelings of like, what if nobody shows up? Or
I'd be thinking, I hope this food doesn't suck.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. That would be like, because I always think my food sucks, right? So like, I'm always like, in my head, I'm always like, it could be better. You know, always. Like,
and I did rag on these guys a little bit. They make legitimate barbecue. Mm-hmm. Legit. Like, I mean, Tom probably has the I know you got some good smokers. Tom probably has the best smoker in Indian River County.
Oh, man.
He says that because he built it.
mine's being built.
Larry's is being built.
It's 2 years.
It's a long process.
4 years. I don't know. Something like that.
It's a Moberg wait list. Yeah.
I have a long wait list. Yeah. Long wait list.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when it's free.
Anyways, yeah. So are you thinking like as you're sitting there or you see the line? What do you?
So first thoughts always go back to, I like to sidetrack to lead my point. So
yeah,
no, I mean, along for the ride. I watched a space documentary a couple of years ago, and it was this guy in outer space in a suit. You know, he's doing a spacewalk. He's out there. He's moving all slow, and he has to change the screws on the something. And there was like 100 screws, and you know how slow they move, and it just takes hours. Somebody asked him, you know, how do you keep sane? How do you not get overwhelmed with that or freak out or anything? And he just said, one at a time, one at a time. So when the line was in here from the glass to the back door, and I'm the only one cutting, and everybody's standing around just looking at me. It's tough, you know, you want to move faster, you want to do this, you want to do that. But in reality, it's just next person. I mean, I consider myself a nice individual, so I want to chop it up with the people ordering. But in times like that, there wasn't time for that. Mm-hmm. So it's just that mentality of one after the other.
Yeah.
The upside down barbecue is like, you should be. Good barbecue, you just kind of take your time, right? Like, yeah. I always think of this with like a glass of bourbon, a craft beer,
good cigar,
bourbon, a good cigar, a good coffee.
Yeah.
Those things that you just kind of like, you better take that moment and like just chill out and relax and really just enjoy the moment. Like, that's my connection with food and drinks and
cigar. We talk about this all the time on our podcast. It's just, you know, when we sit down to break bread together, you know, like just being able to sit down and enjoy even that day. I mean, for you, I'm sure it's stressful because you see a line and not everybody's like us. I get that. But like, and maybe we are the nut jobs that sit in line at Franklin's from 3 o'clock in the morning until they open. But to us, like, I wouldn't have changed that experience or your experience for the world. Like, sitting in line with my friends or family, or like, we're not on our phones. We're not like, we're in the moment. We're excited about good food. Like, it's part of the whole experience. Absolutely. Like, there's nothing I trade that for. Like, I wouldn't want to trade that. If I wanted to go to Sonny's and hit the drive through, I'd go to Sonny's and hit the drive through. But
and have some barbecue.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect that here, you know, like I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to just come fly through the line and okay, like you're on your way out the door, you know?
Yeah.
And so, hopefully nobody else does. Right. Cause like, that's the whole, in my opinion, something that takes you an eight pound brisket is going to take you 10 ish hours.
Yeah.
You know, so you just kind of want to, if it takes you a long time to make it.
It took you a long time to make that. It took somebody a long time to roll a good cigar. It took that bourbon a long time to age. Like, enjoy those things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's always tough because, I mean, during those first few months, I mean, we had people in here just screaming.
Really?
Screaming. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah, like running out of food pretty early and
running out of food, the long lines, people saying, you know, F this, and then walking out the door. We had a guy come in who left us a pretty nice Yelp review. The brisket sandwich is too expensive. No way I'm paying for that. 1 star.
Okay.
He didn't even buy it. No way I'm paying for that. But you know, just in business and stuff, me and Larry talk about this too. It's just, there's bad customers. Well, you know, there's customers you don't want, you know, like
it's kind of like, I had a guy, it's funny cause like, when I worked at the hospital here locally, I had a vendor that would come in and they do work, and I got to know them because I would deal with them all the time. And he's like, one day he was like, I could tell something was up, and I asked him, I was like, what was going on? He's like, man, I wrote a book and all my friends don't like it. And I'm like, they're not your audience. Like that's the way I look at all these things. It's like people leaving and getting mad, not liking this or not liking that. That's not your audience. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, that's like that's not your right audience that, that you should be trying to sell to. A year later, he actually called me. He's like, I published it on Amazon. I was like, oh, all right. And I had no idea that I even like, it was because of my telling him this.
Yeah.
It's not your audience. And I never even read the book, you know, so I don't even know if it's good or not good. But he was just like, he's like, yeah, dude, I went ahead and published it because of what you told me. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Somebody listened to me. Can you talk to my wife?
That's great. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So before you went to into the restaurant business, you were in corporate America, I'm assuming, right? In audio engineering?
Audio engineering.
Yes. So what made you like, what was that like to begin with, right? Like,
it's pretty wild. Once I graduated, moved back to Houston for a couple months and then moved out to LA. And I mean, I was in the Hollywood area living with a couple of cousins of mine in a house. I was like 26 maybe. I was kind of living the dream, dude.
Okay.
Know? Yeah.
Beautiful weather, the beautiful people. It was just a great time working in and out of studios, mixing this, recording that, finally nailing down like a little dream job with Time Warner Cable Sports in studio, pregame, postgame production work with the Lakers and Dodgers. It was great. You know, I'd show up for a baseball game at the studio. We would record the pregame, we would watch baseball, and then we would record the postgame, and then we'd go home. We got paid for it.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was pretty much a dream job and it was great. I loved it. But, you know, LA and the prices just kept going up and up and up. And I was like, all right, we're out of here. So just back to Houston, getting the radio and then eventually teaching. It was just, I mean, it was great. It was great. But, that barbecue, Those 3 a.m. call times.
I'd rather stand outside in 100 degree heat for 12 hours.
Yeah,
cook this brisket
inside of a fire.
Yes.
That's just.
So how's it been? I mean, obviously you were an employee. Now you're an employer. So what's that been like? Like,
it's been great. We've had a couple not great folks, but I don't know. It's always tough to call them not great because they were cool and then not cool and then cool and not cool. But, you know.
But that's the restaurant industry from what I understand.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the people we got working right now are just horses. I mean, all of them. They, every day they're trying to get better. Last week we changed up the whole macaroni and cheese recipe. And now it's similar to that one chicken chain with the red logo and the white background.
Okay. All right.
So y'all need to get in for that.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to get better. They work really hard. A lot of them clock in overtime, which we don't have a problem paying just because of how hard they're working. We try to pay them as much as we can. They get all the tips. We get none of them. You know, it's just everything good that happens to us, we throw it at them. If that makes sense, because they all deserve it. They keep this place running. And it's a reason why I'm able to only work here for 10 hours a day now instead of like 20, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you say that jokingly, but my brother's owns a restaurant too. So I see the struggle that he goes through and what it can be like, you know, hiring employees and all that kind of stuff and the nightmare that it can be sometimes. So when you have that workhorse of a team, like, it means the world, like, you know, you being here 10 hours or being here 14, 18 hours is a huge difference. You're getting to see your kids, your wife, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's big facts.
Yeah. So to that point, right, going from employee to employer, when you were an employee, obviously you had to ring the bell if somebody calls, right?
Yeah.
Being an employer, like, can you express the dynamic of, so I think about this all the time, right? Like, let's just say I'm in IT. I know a little bit about like ChatGPT and like So AI, right? So artificial intelligence, and people can now be creators quicker and this, that, the other. But in my thought is like, yeah, all that does happen. However, not everybody's built to just kind of go out and do their own thing. Some people need to be told what to do and go do it, which is perfectly fine. So I assume going from employee to employer, like, what does that process look like? Or what did that process look like for you as far as like finding what to do?
It was tough. I know we wanted to sell barbecue, so it was just trying to make the best barbecue that I could. Looking for something to do that was, you know, checking the wood, trying to find a source, trying to source the meat, everything with the sides. I mean, what else? The smokers. I mean, I just went on a forum on Facebook and I was like, I need 1,000 gallon. And then Mike hit me up. He's like, I can get you one. And I'm like, how long's the wait? Like 6 months. And I'm like, let's try to cut that in half. Yeah. I'll send you half the money right now. He's like, done. I'll get it to you in a month. You know?
Oh, okay.
So every time I hit up Mike, if I need 1,000, it'll take a month, you know, which is just ridiculous. That's nothing against his customers. It's just a relationship me and him have. I love him. He loves me. But as far as like stuff, you know, you just try to stay busy. You're just looking for stuff to do. Yeah. I mean, my wife could probably answer that a whole lot better than I could.
Now, about like specifically about your employees, like, do you find it more important that they really know what they're doing or that they click in your team or that do you find one more important than the other?
Like employees?
Yeah, like who you have working here.
Everybody, man, if I had to rank employees from top to bottom, they'd all be first. And, well, okay, my wife would be first. They would all be second and I would be like fifth, you know. Yeah, I smoke meats, blah, blah, blah. But it's no good if I smoke it and I can't get it to people.
100%.
You know what yeah. I mean? And then as far as cleaning up after. And
But like when you were hiring them, did you like look for somebody that had a lot of experience with barbecue or more somebody that clicked with your team? Or what set somebody else apart from somebody, you know, two people came in and what set somebody else apart that you were like, hey, they're going to work for us?
I got you. It was more like clicking with me. I'm a pretty laid back, I guess I would say boss, but you know, my wife, but I'm a pretty laid back employee. but yeah, we just got to click. I've never been a judge a book by its cover kind of guy. I got to hear you talk to me. I got to, you know, see your interaction with me, and I'll introduce you if you come on an interview to everybody else and see how everybody else reacts and blah, blah, blah. So as far as being in barbecue, Robbie, who is fully qualified to run this place by himself, he knew how to smoke pork butt, you know, when he came in, never smoked a brisket.
Yeah.
And now he trims, you know, 15 a day and, you know, he can smoke it by himself.
Yeah.
You know, which is really nice. And he's just a quick learner, you know, that's probably what I was looking for. Quick
yeah.
Learners.
Somebody willing to learn.
So, yeah. So who does the interviewing, you or your wife?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
I get that though, because, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work on a lot of teams. And you know, when you're on a bad team, like you immediately know, as soon as you walk in the door, you know, like, and sometimes it's one person on the team. There's just one cancer that you're like, nobody's ever going to be able to click because that one cancer on the team.
Yeah.
So I can imagine when you're hiring for a full restaurant, like, how crucial it is that everybody click together and be able to basically get along with each other, because yeah. You're going to be a team working in here together as opposed to them knowing how to smoke brisket right out of the gate or something like that.
And you can teach you can teach the barbecue part. You can't really teach the getting along with each other part.
Yeah.
And in this area, you're probably not going to find a lot of people that know how to do the barbecue from day one anyway. So
yeah.
Not Texas style, at least. Right. So, and that's the major difference is like, you may know how to, how to smoke certain meats, but like doing it Texas style, taking it past the temp that it should go to in theory, and then you bring it back down, let it rest, like all that whole process. It's a different ball game than what it would be for, you know, for the other, for sure.
Yeah. For example, our cutter, our current cutter, Gibby, Robbie will be in here cutting when it's busy, but our main guy is Gibby, and he was working in cabinets before we picked him up. You know, the cabinet place let him go, you know, kind of out of the blue. Robbie knew him from somebody else, and Gibby came in. He's, you know, he knows nothing really about barbecue, but, you know, all we did was teach him, and he's just a goofball, you know. Love Gibby. And, you know, he clicked with everybody. You know, he's in there, you know, saying jokes and this, that, and the other. He interacts nicely with people. He'll crack jokes on me, which I always, you know, it's always hilarious because everybody's laughing. I'm like, oh, fuck you, Gibby. but yeah, I mean, and he can slice a brisket like I can slice a brisket, you know, and that's the best thing right there. So,
oh yeah, I gotta imagine that's kind of a crucial role, honestly, I feel like, in barbecue, you know, because even, you know, most of the time when you go to the big guys, they don't have their pit master out front slicing brisket, but somebody that can, that's the first person that any of us see, you know, or interact with really at all at the restaurant is the guy slicing the brisket, you know?
Yeah.
And
like I still remember we went to Franklin's that were second in line, third in line, something like that. But we were in line, and sure enough, like the guy was like, had a burnt end ready. And that's like, I was like, boom. That's when like we hit us and we're like, holy shit. Like,
going back, I was probably the skeptical one when we went to Austin. I was like, there's no way it can be that good. It's not. To me, it was like, we're waiting in line because I thought it was fun to do, hang out with the boys and wait in line.
We waited in line. They didn't open until like 11. We got there like 6, and like 9 o'clock rolled around. We Uber Eats some tacos.
They were delicious. breakfast tacos. Yeah.
And then they opened up at like 10. We're like having beers and we're like, you know, it was a good time.
Speaking of, have you ever done tacos here? Brisket tacos?
Yeah, had some the other day.
Yeah. For Cinco de Mayo this year, we were going to transform into like a Tex-Mex joint on Cinco de Mayo because it was a Friday.
Yeah.
So we had it all planned out. Boom. We were in the hospital having our second on like that Thursday.
Right. Okay. So yeah. That kind of,
kiboshed it. So I told my wife, I'm like, you know, I got to go do these tacos. You leave me, I'm leaving. But so we had to make up for it, and we finally transformed into a taco style joint. So we did, you know, all the outside skirt steaks. We did a little carne asada tacos. We did chopped pork belly tacos. We did barbacoa. Ooh. Barbecue.
How did I miss this?
Yeah.
I'm so hungry right now. All of that was like, I'm just like, oh, you're just making me hungry.
Yeah. The other thing too is like the banh mi.
Yeah.
I haven't had it, but like, how'd you even come up with that?
So in Texas, in Houston, they got a heavy Vietnamese population.
Ah, okay.
And my mother loves Vietnamese food, Chinese food. And so, I mean, I grew up with it. You know, I was eating banh mi's from, you know, questionable Vietnamese joints when I was like 5, you know.
That's the best type of joint, though.
I'm telling you.
That's every kind of Vietnamese joint in there.
Man, so it was just one of those things. Like, let's just incorporate it with barbecue. Have all the accoutrements with the banh mi. You know, they got the French bread, the cilantro, the pickled carrots, the daikon, the cucumber, the jalapeno. Throw some Maggie on it, throw some brisket on it, call it a day. And I mean, it tastes like a banh mi, and I just love them. You know, whenever we do them or whenever they're coming, my mom knows they're coming. She's like, yeah, let me just get like 10 of them. All right, mom. You know, so she'll have a banh mi diet for like a week. But yeah, I mean, I just try to pull from my background what I've eaten as a kid. And, you know, just throw some barbecue in it. Just try to make it taste good. you know.
Now, do you go for themes, or are you just kind of like winging it? Like I'm just going to go ahead and like whatever strikes your fancy at that moment in time.
Kind of. I mean, like a brisket Philly. I've been to Philly once, but I mean, who doesn't love a Philly cheesesteak? You know, might as well just try it with brisket instead of, you know, that shaved ribeye.
Now you can do it with Wiz or
Wiz. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've done that a couple times, and I mean, we'll go through like 40 a day or something just outrageous like that. But, since we got the Wiz there, we do like, you know, cheese tots, which is just super healthy.
Yeah.
For a Friday afternoon. But yeah, I mean, it's just stuff like that. What else we got? What we have coming up? We got torta coming up, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
We got more tacos coming up. We have Twinkies coming up. I gotta prepare myself mentally to make 1,000 Texas Twinkies.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up. Still got to do that Texas Red, the chili, you know, so it's all. I'll just pull inspiration from anywhere.
Okay.
You know. Can you even start to, you know, you've been cooking so much. Can you start to say like your best bite of food ever? Could you say what your best bite of food ever was?
Man. There was a couple months ago, I smoked some heads, cow heads, because I was pulling the beef cheek out of them. Mm-hmm. It's more of like a, it's not a publicity stunt, but it makes a cool picture.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
it's for the barbacoa.
Yeah,
We just get cheeks in bulk, but for that real barbacoa experience. So we had the heads on the smoker. I just peppered and salted them, and just threw the head on, smoked it until it was done. You know, you kind of push on that cheek a little bit, where it kind of it's all melty, and you know, I just took a tortilla. Grabbed the cheek, ripped it out, little lime on it, took a bite, and that was, it's tough to beat. It's tough to
really
beat. I mean, you got that sticky.
It does sound delicious.
It does sound good. Yeah.
And speaking of like the publicity, I've always seen like, where do they do the whole cow at? Like, have you seen like they do the whole smoker with the whole cow in there?
I've seen that.
Like, I think Brazil has it or something. Like
a big steak or something?
No, it's like in a big, like.
It's like the carcass. Yeah.
Yeah, like the whole cow. Like they do a whole hog, but they do a whole cow.
Yeah. I've seen it.
And I don't think it honestly, to me in my head, there's no way that it could every part would be done correctly at the right time. You'd end up having to chop it up as you took it off or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I don't know. Like it does sound delicious though. Yeah,
I can tell you for me it was
I think I'm gonna be ordering a cow head to Larry's house. I'm not gonna cook it. I'm gonna make one of these guys cook it. But
so when we went to we're in Boston and we ate the Wagyu.
I feel
like that was probably
was it the 23rd steakhouse in Boston or something?
Remember,
it's something 23 in Boston.
But it's basically so we basically are like sitting there and we're like about to have dinner at this fancy steak restaurant.
Like a dry age steak place, a really high end steakhouse.
Yeah. And we had always heard of like Wagyu this, Wagyu that, but like
you can't find it. A5 Wagyu, like legit Japanese stuff.
Yeah, you can't find it. So then all of a sudden we heard that this place had it. So we're like, let's go check it out. So we checked it out and sure enough, like they had it. It was like 2 ounces.
For like $60.
Yeah, $60 for 2 ounces. So we split it. We both got real steaks, but then we were like, we split this as our app. I was thinking the same thing. That as far, and I'm a steak guy overall, you know, like a dry aged ribeye or something like that. Mm. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
The reverse sear that we make is probably one of my favorites too.
Yes. Yeah. Tomahawks. Like a reverse seared tomahawk is like, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably, but when I tasted that A5, and I was honestly the same, I felt the same almost animosity towards that A5 as I did Franklin's because of the weight and how expensive it was. I thought there's no way it's going to be worth the hype.
Yeah.
It was the best piece of beef I've ever had in my entire life. Like the best bite of beef I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
And then we've since then bought A5 like and cooked it at the house. Mm-hmm.
And for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for the Super Bowl 1 year. And I mean, it was fantastic, absolutely. But that first time tasting, because it's nothing, it's like nothing. It's like no other piece of beef, you know? Have you ever had it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Like Jell-O.
It's like Jell-O. Yes. Jell-O. Yes.
You go like this and the other side just kind of goes up like Jell-O. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's so good.
Yeah. My wife is a huge A5 Japanese, needs a certificate type person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she likes
What's the one they feed just the olives to or something, right? Isn't it? I think there's a different one. It's like A5 Wagyu something, but they only eat like crushed olives from I don't know. I'd have to look it up. It's like a certain other type of.
I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know there's like an Australian version. There's a Japanese version.
That's Japanese. It's definitely Japanese because they feed them like crushed olives or something. Yeah. Or maybe they just finish them on crushed olives. I don't know. There's something to do with crushed olives. Hmm. I'm a wealth of information.
Something. I could be spewing not
like half information. Like part of the story. Yeah.
That's probably incorrect. So fact check me. You know?
Yeah. So what, going back to you wanting to raise kids in a smaller city, what made you want to transition going from Houston, right, which is like fifth largest city in the US, roughly, going to here, where it's a smaller city? I feel like there are some advantages to a big city, but then there's some advantages to a smaller city, right? 100%. Yeah. So just curious, like what made you want to make the jump to a smaller city?
So, I mean, one of the things was my parents live here. So that was nice, you know, get my daughter and now son to grow up with their grandparents.
That's huge.
Be sick, you know? So, because I saw my grandparents a lot when I was growing up, but yeah, that was one of the things. And then smaller type city, I don't know. I mean, not so many people. Yeah, you know, try to limit. You know, every time I'd go to work in the morning in Houston, I'd turn on the news. Oh, 4 people shot and killed all over Houston. It's like Jesus, man. Like, you know, it's all like either robberies, break-ins, road rage incidents. You can be walking down the wrong street at the wrong time and that's it, you know? So I just wanted to try to get away from that. And I think we have gotten away from it. I know a lot of police officers out here and, you know, every now and then I'll be like, yeah, my wife never locks her doors. And he was like a buddy of mine, Alex, he was like, you know, we had like 4 break-ins last year.
You know? Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But you still lock your doors.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
It's a Houston PTSD.
Yeah.
But now she locks her doors. Thank you. but yeah, I mean, I just like the smaller town, the smaller vibe. Being on the coast is beautiful. There's like zero traffic anywhere.
Meanwhile, I mean, we've been here a while and we're like complaining about traffic.
Yeah. That depends on how long you've lived here.
Yeah.
No, now, I work down south, so I know the difference. I love coming home to Indian River County because I'm like, I just couldn't deal with the traffic all the time, just waiting at every traffic light for 3 cycles, getting to move 4 feet, 3 more cycles, 4 Brutal. Feet.
Brutal. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, obviously, Houston. I'm sure you ran into that all the time. But again, I do feel there are some advantages to being in a big city. All the action is there, plenty of jobs, plenty of careers, but you can always just open up a barbecue spot.
There you go.
Boom. Wherever you go.
Yeah. Small town live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's been nice so far. Knock on wood.
I hear that. Absolutely. Yeah. So do you still are you still cooking at home at all? Or are you like all barbecued out? Like don't ask me to cook at home. Like I'll bring it home from the restaurant. That's the best you get.
Like, so me and Tom were like, maybe we should bring in some barbecue. But we're like, there's no way. You'd be like, get the hell out of here.
I'll eat other.
Bring
me some pasta, dude.
Nerds, absolute nerds. They were like, maybe we should bring a offering to the pitmaster.
On one knee.
I'll eat other people's barbecue. Like the other day, I was in Melbourne, and I was like, man, I would like some barbecue.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I was like, what's in Melbourne? my man Chad Dog.
Kreiderman. He's good.
Yeah.
So I was in Melbourne. So I stopped by. Chad was, I think, in Tampa. I shot him a text. I'm like, hey, bro, I'm going to the shop. He's like, get the sausage fold over. And I'm like, yes, you know, but.
And report back. Make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, he's actually, he hit me and Tom up because I was like, I would text him right now because, you know, again, we just nerd out.
Yes, absolute nerds.
We went, Tom found out that Kreiderman's was open in Coco. That was his first spot. And so we tricked our families into going to Coco. We're like, we're going to go to Orlando. We're going to spend the day. But before that, we're going to make a stop at a restaurant that we think might be good. And, you know, and they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And, you know, then we get there. This is a barbecue spot.
Which is a cool spot, too. That old gas station.
Yeah, it's a great spot.
Yeah, it is a cool spot. I mean, way too far of a drive from here for us. I mean, I say that, but I've been there. It's a waste.
Yeah, so like legitimately, we sat down. We started eating. We saw him. We started talking to him. He literally just sat down and we talked for like an hour.
Yeah.
Everybody else is bored to death, but we were just like geeking out.
That's why I love barbecue people, though, because they'll just talk to you.
Like, yeah. Like Jimmy, how you do it. They were like, oh, yeah, here's what I do. And we're like,
other chefs don't do that. Yes. They won't tell you how they cook stuff. And
like, I mean, barbecue, Texas style barbecue, it's a family culture. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not a competition, which some people have called it, between us and Kreiderman's. Like, I like their photos. They like our photos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll text Chad. He'll text me a question. I'll answer him. He texted me the other day, where are you getting your pepper from? And I told him, Sam's Club.
Yeah.
That's like the best, restaurant. The best pepper that I've gotten was from Sam's Club. Shocking. Yeah. Right? But it's relatively inexpensive.
Now, do you get the pepper, the restaurant one?
That's
what we use.
Restaurant grind or coarse grind.
Yep.
So it's not, I don't think it's 16 mesh. Hmm. It's
a little smaller, but it's fine.
Yeah. No, I really like
it. Again, for the rest of the audience, I don't know what they're talking about either. 16 mesh pepper.
It's just a thicker grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's, I love all types of barbecue except mine, you know, if that makes sense. But I'll try to sneak in a little jalapeno cheddar sausage every now and then. But,
yeah.
But yeah, it's all Texas culture, like standing in line and talking to your boys and turning around, talking to your line neighbors in front of you, behind you. And
it's great. It's chopping absolutely it up. Great.
Yeah. You know, like you don't want to be next to the person like, oh, Jesus, I'm standing in this line for 20 minutes. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're like 5 hours in. Yeah.
I'd be ecstatic, the problem? You know? But yeah, bro, Texas barbecue, it's all culture, like family style culture. Like Exhibit A, Barb's Barbecue. Anybody heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
They just opened this year. It was, she was the pit master, one of the pit masters at Goldie's.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So she left Goldie's to open her own joint. And then, like, Johnny White and the gang all went down to Lockhart when she opened to support and this, that, and the other. And they're posting about each other. It's all that family stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's just
bringing everybody up together.
That's it.
Yeah, no reason to push anybody else down.
Yeah, because I've even seen Franklin where he'll be like, yeah, I go to Valentina's all the time and eat their barbecue because it's delicious barbecue. And they'll talk about Micklewaite's and, like, you know. To talk about all the different spots around that area. And yeah, I know who you're talking about, because like I saw a documentary on Goldie's by a YouTuber, and he documented like a day in the life, and she was there and she was very blatant. She was like, I'm here, I'm gonna work as hard as I can because my only goal is to open up my own spot.
Yeah.
So I think that must be her.
Yeah. I mean, that's like Robbie right now. He eventually wants to open his own spot. And I told him, all right, I mean, that's cool. I'm going to show you how to do it, how I do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you how I do it. And then whenever this is, I don't know how to say this, but whenever you're ready, whenever I think you're ready, then I'm just going to let you go. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to have you sit here, get comfortable. I want to bring you outside of your comfort zone. I want you to accomplish a dream of yours.
Yeah.
And I'm here to support it. And I told him once he gets up, he wants to open it in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I told him, you know, once he makes the decision, makes the jump, that I'm going to be up there. And I told him I worked the first 2 weeks with him just to get everything situated, this, that, and the other, because I know how hard it was when we opened the door here, and it was me.
That's a real boss, you know, right there.
Yeah. So it's, I'm just trying to elevate, and I want people to reach their goals, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like their hopes, their dreams, all that shit.
Absolutely.
Because I'm out here doing it, and I want other people to be out there doing it too. So bringing people down is not something I do. I just want to lift everybody up, but everybody's heavy.
You know? I hear that for sure.
But yeah.
John, I appreciate you talking to us for sure, man.
My man.
Very gracious, man. Like I said, this has been a conversation a long time coming. You know, we've had a lot more conversations between the three of us about sitting down and talking to you, but we are beyond grateful, man, for sure. We love your barbecue. We love your spot, man.
Gracias.
You know, for everybody listening, make sure, you know, you check out Pepper and Salt, you know, Vero Beach on Old Dixie.
Yeah.
You know, delicious. I'm sure you can Google it and find them, but it's certainly the only Texas barbecue within probably a 40-mile radius, you know, or better than that.
Yeah. And you know, to be fair, right, even though you are the only one, it's legit Texas barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say legit Texas barbecue. There's probably some, actually, there's some roadside guys that said they were Texas barbecue.
But they're not.
This is legit Texas barbecue. And again, like, we love your stuff, man. I appreciate you sitting down and talking to us, man.
Yeah.
And getting Tom on the podcast, because Tom's never been on the podcast with us.
My man.
The only thing that could get him on the podcast was sitting down to talk to a pit master.
Yeah, he's like, wait, we're talking to John? I'm there.
He's like, you want to come to the Pepper and Salt? I'm like, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So next time we'll have to have some scotch.
Yeah.
I'm in.
For sure, man. Right. I appreciate it for sure.
Get on your hammer and I'll do a 360.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, man. All right,
thanks so much.
Have a good night. Thank you. All right.